Well, I certainly have enjoyed all the singing today, congregational and special singing, and I'm eager to talk with you as we continue our study on the family, just what the Bible has to say about the family. And brethren, what the Bible has to say about the family is what our country needs. We've gotten away from biblical principles in our homes and our families. We heard in Sunday school this morning that, you know, in order to get our homes right, we're going to have to get our hearts right. The country in which we live, I don't know of anyone that could be just slightly abreast of all that's going on in our country and not have a burden for the direction that our country is headed in. And yet we know that the country is not going to be any stronger than the homes that make it up. And the homes are not going to be any stronger than the parents that guide them. And the parents are not going to be any stronger than the God that they follow. And so this thing really all comes back to what saith the Scriptures. What does God say? How should my home be being conducted? How should I be conducting my life? How should I be leading my life? How should I be training my children? How should I be setting an example for those that are around me? Well, here in the book of Deuteronomy, on Wednesday nights, we started going through the book of Deuteronomy, and then we came up here in chapter number 5, and this is, well, the second, or the reinstating, I should say, of the Ten Commandments. And the book of Deuteronomy means the second giving of the law, or Deuteronomy, the second giving, or the law, the second stating, or the reinstating of the law. And so these Ten Commandments, which are oftentimes people, they hear the Ten Commandments and they think, well, you know, the Ten Commandments can get us to heaven. Well, the Ten Commandments has never got anyone to heaven. But I'll tell you what the Ten Commandments will do. The Ten Commandments will show you where you stand before God so that you can go to Christ and be saved so you can go to heaven. Amen. The law is our schoolmaster. Now, not just particularly the Decalogue and the Ten Commandments, but the entire body of the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ so that we can see who God is, who we are, and that our relationship is broken, it's been severed by sin, and that only Christ can forgive us of our sin. There's only one way to heaven. Only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, the family is becoming extinct. It's phasing out. As a matter of fact, I read something this past week, and it really disturbed me. It's the mindset of our culture today. And I want you to listen very carefully. This is the mindset of our culture today about family. Before I read you this, I want to tell you how really extinct the family is becoming. It's rare that you see a family unit anymore. It's so rare that there was a man who was in the park, and he had a little boy with him, and his little boy said, "Look, a family." It's rare that you see a father, a mother, and children anymore. And yet our culture is trying to teach us, well, that's not a family. Well, I beg to differ with that. Amen. Now, if you're here and you're in a broken relationship, a broken family, God loves you just as much as He loves anyone else. God wants to help you. God wants to minister to you. But now, just because my situation or your situation has changed from the biblical model of a family, that doesn't mean that God's changed His mind on the biblical model of a family. The mindset in which we're living today is a terrible mindset from society. And they're trying to change what God has ordained as a family unit, as the family, the responsibility, even the roles. They're trying to get our young men to dress like young women. Listen, when I was young, the concern was young women dressing like young men. Now we got young men wanting to dress like young women to identify as them. I was telling someone last week, I think I'm going to identify as a millionaire. See what that'll get me. This stuff is foolishness, brethren. It's foolishness. And it is foreign from the teaching of the book that we know as the Word of God. The book that you hold in your hand is more than just the Bible. It is the Word of God. We need to say that with conviction. It's not just a series of writings by man. It is the Word of Almighty God. Listen to what the culture of our day, this council culture in which we're living, this left wing, listen, this culture of where people are trying to redefine everything that's sacred. This is their idea of a family. It would be far superior to sanction new forms of marriage and parenting and family than to resist modern realities and cling to the old ways which no longer work. I say hogwash. We ought to free the family to be what it must become. The sum of love relationships expressed in whatever forms that love must take. Defending old traditions and standards which no longer fit our culture make little sense. Now, this is coming from people who are wanting to lead our nation. It's up to you and I, as concerned citizens, as Christians, we're Christians. Lead your family.
Amen.
Dad, be a Christian dad. Mom, be a Christian mom. Be a Christian, young people. You say God saved you by His grace? Live it.
Amen.
Live it. Have some passion about you.
Right.
Some conviction.
Amen.
Some standard.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Dare to be different.
Yeah. Amen.
For the right cause. A lot of folks want to be a fool for the world. How about somebody being a fool for Jesus? Amen.
Amen.
How about somebody standing on the old paths? The good way. Quoting the good book. I don't want my children running around quoting some rap singer. Quote Jesus Christ. Quote Paul the Apostle. Quote John. Amen. Feed your spirit the right things. Here, as we look into the book of Deuteronomy, we find where Moses is under God's direction. He's given the reinstating of the law to the next generation. Now, I'm going to tell you what's missing today. What's missing today is passion. We've lost our fervor. We're no longer fervent about the things of God. We can take it or leave it. And I'm saying we now. See, I need God to do something in my heart. You need God to do something in your heart. We need God to stir us up.
Amen.
Say, preacher, I'm stirred. Are you? You love God with all your heart? It's a tough question, isn't it? You love God with all your heart? You love Him with all your mind? With all your might? See, this is what Moses is getting ready to talk to the people of God about. It's important, brethren. See, we're prone to wonder. We sang the song. We're prone to wonder. We're prone to allow the flame of God to flicker, to die down. And sometimes we need God to breathe and to rekindle the fire and the passion and to create a hungering and a thirst in us about the things of God anymore. This generation in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is a generation of people that had wandered in the wilderness as children, and they watched the generation before them die in the wilderness as their carcasses fell and wandering round and round because they would not honor God, because they would not obey God, because they would not seek God and follow God. And now they have come to the very cusp, the very brink of making the Passover into the new land. And God said, Moses, He said, I'm going to reinstate the Ten Commandments, and He reinstated those commandments, and we studied some of those. And now we come down, and we get to where God said now, in verse number 1 of chapter 6, He said, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgment which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might what? Do them. I'm afraid that we've gotten to the place as Christians that we're okay with knowing what God said. I don't think I would have to really try to impress on somebody too hard this morning that it's wrong to steal. God said, thou shalt not steal. I don't think I'd have anyone to stand up and say, oh, now, preacher, it's all right to steal. No, it's sin. Lying is a sin. Dishonesty is sin. Adultery is sin. Let me say that again. Adultery is sin. Yeah. You see, we become so comfortable to where it's almost like we just kind of cringe. Like, well, I wonder if that'll offend anybody. Listen, I want to get the truth out. I don't want to purposely offend anybody, but if the truth offends someone, then that's between them and God.
Amen. Amen.
Right. I'm not going to tiptoe around sin because it might offend someone. Now, I don't want to be just, listen, I don't want to provoke somebody in the flesh, but I do want to lay the truth out there and say, listen, adultery is sin. Covetousness is sin. Yeah. And so here is the Lord, and he said, Moses, he said, I've given these statutes, and he said, here's what I want you to do in chapter number 6 and verse number 1. He said, I want you to take these statutes, these commandments, these judgments, and I want you to teach them that the people might do them. I want the people to know what my expectations of them are. Would there be somebody in our congregation today who would say, in honesty before God, God, I really don't know what your expectations of me are. You know, there's times in all of our lives that we wonder about that. We want God to show us. God, show me what you want me to do so I can do it, right? I mean, we've all been there. Show me what you would have me to do. I want to do your will. I want to do it your way. And so he said, I want you to teach this to the people. Now, I'm going to say that what he was really saying here is I want you to teach this to the parents. Because if you'll follow along, down in verse number 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou. Now here's the parents. I'm going to teach you something, parents. Why? That you might teach your children, or thy son, in verse number 2, and that you might teach your son's son. Teach your children and grandchildren what the Bible say. Amen? Amen? Now there's three words that I want to give you. And then we're going to be in this section of Scripture for a while, but I want you to write this down, okay? Number one, God wants me to be a model. You know what a model is? An example. As a parent, as an adult, God wants me to be a model. I want you to say that. God wants me to be a model. Would you say that? Say it. God wants me to be a model. God wants you to be a model. God wants you to learn some things so that people can see what you've learned. God wants me to do some things so people can see what I do. God wants me to set an example. I'm a parent. I'm a grandparent. I'm a Christian. God wants me to set an example. I need to keep this in mind. It's important. I fear that we've forgotten how important that influence is. How important it is that I do right. Why? Somebody's watching me. Somebody's watching you. Brethren, they're watching us. We have a world out there that want to see, is God real? Is God worth serving? Can God empower people? Will God forgive sin? Will God pardon? Will God bless? Does God answer prayer? See, my life needs to be an exhibition of all the above. My life needs to send forth that message. There is a God in heaven, and He will get involved in the affairs of man. He's not some distant deity who's made us and turned His back and said, now have at it. That's not God. He's personal. He's the Lord God. Yes, He's God. Yes, He's Elohim. Yes, He's the Creator God. But He is Yahweh. He is Jehovah. He is the God of the covenant who wants to get involved personally in your life and in my life. So it says here, he said, I want you to learn that you can teach. So you can do it. You can show people this works. Can I tell you, living the Bible works.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. Living the Bible works. You're looking at a man who's been set free,
amen,
saved in the grace of God, enjoying life.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of folks walking around like the world's, you know, like the world's crashing on. Listen, I understand burdens. I understand hardships. But brethren, as Christians, we ought to be rejoicing in the Lord that God has been so good to us. And he said, when you go in this land over there, there's going to be Canaanites. There's going to be Jebusites. There's going to be Gergesites and every kind of ite you can think of in this land. He said, when you go over there, if you'll read this, he said, when you get over there, I want them to see that I am your God and that I am worth worshiping and that I am worth loving and that I am worth serving. Show them the one true and living God. And God has that message for you and for I. There's a world who wants to know, who is God? Where is God? There have even some that says there is no God. That's foolishness. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I want you to notice that the Bible never said the fool said in his mind, there is no God. You know why? Because the heavens declare the glory of God. You can't deny what is there, my friend. You can. You see, it is a willful choice in your heart to say no to God. That's right. So the Bible doesn't say the fool has said in his mind there is no God. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Let's look at this. Let's break it down a little bit. I like to break down things. Let's see what God has said here. There's, number one, God said, I want you to be a model. That's what you're to be. And then think about this. He said, I want you to realize you're a mirror. Now, a mirror is not what you're to be. It's what you're to show. I want to mirror something. Now, when God wants me to be a model, he wants me to be a model of someone who keeps his commandments. All right? I want to be dedicated to keeping God's commandments. I want to be a model. But when he wants me to be a mirror, he wants me to be a mirror by what? By showing something. Showing what? The love of God. The love of God. I want to mirror the love of God. See, the love of God is, when we get saved, brethren, the love of God is in our heart and the Holy Spirit of God. Doesn't the Bible say that? Romans 5:5? Yes. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost of heaven, brethren. The love of God. I want to show the love of God. So I'm to be a model, I'm to be a mirror, and then the last thing, I'm to be a mentor. And that's the three things. As Moses is speaking to the parents about speaking to their children and their children's children about being an example to the enemy nations as they go into Canaan's land, he's saying, this is what I want you to do. I want you to realize who you are, who I've made you. I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I've made you something by the promises that I made your fathers, and I'm going to fulfill them in you, and I want you to understand them and live them out. And so realize that you are a model. Realize you're a mirror, and realize you're a mentor, that you're to pass down this life, this servitude, this, you're to pass down these teachings unto your children and your children's children. I said Wednesday night, before we get a little deeper into this, that every Christian parent should be a homeschooler. And some people kind of, their eyes got real big, like, whoa, whoa. But now hear me out. Hear me out. First of all, I want to talk to the parents. So just look right up here at me, parents. Young people, you listen too, because you'll need to know what I'm telling your parents. What's your real aim for your children? See, every parent has to decide this early. What's my aim for my children? Do I want my child to be a money-making machine, a Rhodes Scholar? Nothing wrong making money, nothing wrong being intelligent. As a matter of fact, do both. But what's my aim for my children? What's my aim? What's my goal? Have I communicated that to my children? What my goal, what my aim, what my prayer, what my desire for my daughter, for my son, for my children? What's my aim? Say, well, now, preacher, my aim is that they'd be a great athlete. Nothing wrong with that. Dad, you ought to teach your son how to hit a softball. Amen. I say that because I coach one of the softball teams here. Amen. You ought to teach your son to catch. Throw a football. Pitch cornhole. You ought to teach your daughter some things. You ought to sit down with them and go over math. Get involved in their life. Find out what's going on in their life. You're their father. Get involved in their life. Everybody say amen with me right there. You know what I'm saying. So, it's missing in our culture today. You ought to sit down with your children, have open discussion and communication, and find out where they are in life and what's going on in their heart and what's going on at school and what's going on with their friends and where they are in life. You ought to know these things about your children. What's your goal? What's your aim for your child? I don't want them to learn how to play ball or a musical instrument, or I want them to do well in school, or I don't want them to get them mixed up in drugs, preacher. I don't want my children to get mixed up in drugs, and I don't want them to get mixed up in that old alcohol, and I don't want them to get mixed up in that old foul music. I want my children to be good children, and that's commendable. But can I tell you, you've just about named what every other religion is trying to do with their children. That's not Christian parenting. There's lost people that want that for the children. There's not a thing I've named that a lost person wouldn't want for their child. You see, that's not where we start. That's where we end. We start, I want my child to know there's a God in heaven and that He is real and that they can have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. Right? This is what we as Christians want our children to know. And God has, this God that I speak to you about that has created the universe and all that therein is, He's written a book. We call it the Bible, the Word of God. And He's preserved and inspired this book into the English language. And we have a copy of it in the King James, and we have this book, and it's the Word of God, and we can learn from it and grow by it, and we can learn about more about who God is and what God expects, and we can fellowship with God through His Word. We can find out His will and His way for our lives. See, that's Christian parenting. You won't find any other religion doing that. See, that's the difference. Somehow we've tagged that on to the end. That should be up here at the front. Say amen with me. We're Christians. I'm not speaking to a group of Hindus, am I? We're Christians. We want our children to know that God is the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that Jesus marks time. This is 2022 because 2,022 years ago, God sent His Son to this earth. He marks time, B.C. and A.D. They're even trying to change that. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to be teaching our children what thus saith the Lord. Every parent ought to be a homeschooler. Doesn't mean that you would necessarily have to teach them science, though you could from the Bible. Doesn't necessarily mean that you would teach them arithmetic, math, geometry, calculus, physics, chemistry. But you ought to sit down with them. Notice if you would in verse number 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently. What a word. I have that word underlined in my Bible. That means, listen, it ought to be a at the top. In priority, you teach these commandments, these statutes, you teach these things of God, you teach them diligently unto thy children. Where at, preacher? You talk with them when thou sittest down in thine house. Do a little homeschooling. Call your children together and teach them what thus saith the Lord. Oh, now, preacher, we bring our children to Sunday school. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Keep bringing them. Amen. As a matter of fact, if you can, talk to your neighbors, and if they won't come to church, see if you can bring your neighbor's children to Sunday school. We'll welcome them here. We'll teach them the Bible. Well, we bring our children, they get involved in the children's clubs on Wednesday night. Thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Preacher, we send our children to Christian school. Amen. That's good. That's what God wants. You keep doing that. Amen. Say amen with me, folks. These are good things. Amen. But now, when it comes to the primary educating of your children, especially in this thing called the Bible, Dad, you break open that book and you call your family together and you say, it's family altar time. Amen. We're going to read some scripture. We're going to find out what thus saith the Lord. I want to talk to you today. Marcus, let's see what God has in this section of scripture for you. We used to do that. Meredith, Michael, Mariah, let's see what God has. Tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to get you to read five verses, and you tell me what God's saying to you in those five verses. I tell you, it's amazing. You want to find out what's on the heart and mind of your child, get them to read some verses and then tell them what it's saying to them. Amen? It's saying that I need a new bicycle. I didn't get that out of that verse. Amen. I didn't get that out of that verse. It says that God giveth us all things richly and joy, doesn't it, Dad? Well, it says that, but I don't see the bicycle in there. Children, it's interesting. You say, preacher, I want to know what's in the hearts of my children. Read the Bible with them. Let them pray. You want to find out what's on their mind? Let them talk. You want to find out what's in their heart? Let them pray. Children pray their heart. You say, preacher, I'd like to get to the heart of my child. Then you just say, we're going to pray. Son, lead us. You'll find out real quick. But you got to listen now. You see? He said, now these are the commandments, verse 1, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whithersoever you go to possess it. Getting ready to send you to a land, and there's some enemies there. He said, but I don't want you to get concerned about fighting them. I'm going to take care of them. We'll get to that sooner or later. He said, I'm going to give you some houses you didn't even build. I'm going to give you some fields you didn't even sow. God said, I got something good for you in this promised land. What I want you to be concerned about is doing what I tell you to do. Well, it seems like we Christians are concerned about doing everything but that. And I'm just saying, God help me and God help you. Now, let's look at a couple principles and I'll be done this morning. Say, phew, man. Why do you want us to do it, Lord? He said, well, in verse number 2, what are we talking about now? Talking about being a model. We're talking about a dedicated life, living for the Lord to set an example to others. All right? And so basically he's saying, I want to tell you how you're to live your life. This is how I want you to live your life so you'll be a model to others. Verse number 2. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. That's the first thing. Now look at the next thing he said. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee. Now here's the situation. I want you to get what we're being taught here. Please don't miss this. Our very first thing we think is obedience. Well, I need to do what God said. Now, that's very important to God. I don't think anybody would deny that, right? It's very important to God that we do what God said. Obedience. But if you'll notice in verse number 2, that's the second thing he said. That's not the first thing. He said, now, I want you to keep all my commandments, but he said before that, in order to be able to do that, there's going to have to be something to provoke, to propel. There's going to have to be something to assist you in doing that. Something has to motivate me to keep all God's commandments. He says, so I want you to fear me. I'm going to take about 5-8 minutes and talk to you about fearing the Lord, and I'll be done today. This is a very interesting word. The word fear. And I want you to go home and research it, okay? It means reverence. I want you to reverence me. I want you to stand in awe of me. I want you to know who I am. We're not talking about some wooden God on a shelf here, all right? We're not talking about a deaf and dumb God. We're not talking about a God you can wear in your pocket. We are talking about the awesome, almighty, living God. There is none beside him, brethren. I fear that we have lost our vision. We've lost our view of who God really is. We have dumbed him down. We have so referred to him as the man upstairs. Our buddy, our homeboy, we have so referred to this thrice holy God that has brought him down to man's level and then below, that we have gotten to the place to where we've lost our reverence for the one true and living God, where the angels declare over and over and over again, holy, 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 while the ages roll, and we have forgotten that's the God in whom we serve. God, help us to realize this. He's holy. He's awesome. You see, God said before you'll ever be obedient, now watch this, there has to be some obeisance. The word obeisance is tied into this word fear. It means literally to bow down and pay homage and obeisance. It means to come in honor, but also in humility. You see what God is saying? Not only realize who I am, realize what I can do. Realize what I can do. Fear me. We've lost our fear. There used to be a time in America when people feared God. They feared what would happen if they didn't do what he said. Now they snicker and laugh and mock and jeer because we've lost our reverence. It's even missing among God's people. And I don't want to be one of those. But can I tell you, if I'm not careful, I could be. See, I need to stay in God's Word. I need to constantly be reminded who this God is. I need to stay in His Word. I need to stay in the closet of prayer. I need God to remind me and to speak to me and to commune with me who He is and what He has done and what He's doing and what He is yet to do. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2, he said, that thou mightest fear the Lord. How are you going to do that? By these commandments and statutes and judgments, knowing them and doing them. Right? They go together. See, when we began to look into God's Word, when we began to commune with God, we get into a life of devotion and a life of realization to know Him, Paul said. To know Him. There's an intimacy in that. And then there becomes this fear. There becomes this reverence of who God is. Do you reverence God? Do I? Obeisance. Would you be afraid to bow down in a public place? Some folks won't even bow their head. Would you bow your knee and say, God, You're everything to me. You're the one true and living God. Would you? You say, old preacher, that make me ashamed. Why? What's a God ever done to make you ashamed? Picked you out by a horrible pit? Saved your soul that was on its way to hell? Put His Holy Spirit in you? Gave you a copy of His Word? Loved you with an everlasting love? Provided you with everything in life? What's God ever done that you wouldn't bow your knee and say, God, I come before You in obeisance today. I want to be obedient to You. Every Christian ought to start their life this way. I want to start your day, every day. Here I am, Lord. I don't have much to offer, but God, all that I am by Your grace, and here I am. I just want to serve You. I just want to serve You. That's the way you keep a heart of devotion. When you get up and you go your way and you start doing things in the own energy of your flesh and by your own will and your own strength, it'll be very, very, listen, it'll be very, very easy before long to lose your reverence, to lose your direction, to lose sight of who God is. And before long, you will be God. Oh, no, not me, preacher. Well, now be careful now. Let's be careful. Who are we really depending on? I'm depending on God. You asking Him? Did you ask God to help you today? Or did you just get up and do it? So now who are you depending on? Right? I'm just trying to get our wheels turning. Right? See, we become so, let me just say this now. We become so influenced by the world that we think we can just sit down and folks supposed to do stuff for us and not us not even ask them. You're supposed to know this. That has spilled over into our Christian life. God, you're supposed to know. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. It says you have not because you ask not. We need God's help. We need to be asking for His help. He said, I want you to fear me. That's just the first thing. Now, there's others. If you'll drop down, this is where we'll kind of pick up tonight. Look at verse number 5. He said, I want you not only to fear me, I want you to love me. Isn't that something? I want you to love me. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm getting ready to say. Fear is a model. That'll bring a model. Fear helps me keep God's commandments. Just being honest with you. I fear God, okay? I fear Him in honor. I fear Him in humility. I'm not much, but I fear the Lord. I do. Fear will help you be moral. You listening? There are people who will do what God said because they're afraid of what would happen if they don't. But I don't want to live my life totally like that, and I don't think you do either. You see, I want to get down in verse number 5. I want to do what I do for God because I love Him. See, there's something stronger than the law. Amen? You listening? The law can motivate me to do out of fear and reverence, obeisance. But I want to do it because I love you. Lord, I want to keep your commandments because I love you. I love you, and so I want to do what you say because I know you have my best interest in mind. You believe that about God? I do. God has my best interest in mind. See, I'll hurt myself, but God never hurt me. Now, listen, He will allow me to be hurt so He can help me. But the ways of God are always true, always helpful. Fear will make you moral, but love will make you spiritual. Are you spiritual? See, there's a lot of people who can do good. That doesn't make you spiritual. You listening now? Doing good doesn't make you spiritual. Loving God is what makes us spiritual. Because when we love God, we will do right. So I want you to go home with these two words we'll pick up here tonight. Number one, reverence. Number two, righteousness. Fear God, keep my commandments. Is that what it says in verse number two? Reverence. Number two, righteousness. Right acts. You'll do right acts when you fear God. Let's all stand. When the preacher, you can't just leave us there. Well, you come back tonight. You say, well, now I'm afraid not to. Good. Keep fearing God. You ought to be in church because you love God. Love God. Well, our families are in trouble. And I think every Christian should be concerned. I am. I'm concerned. The family unit is changing quickly. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good grandfather. I believe you do too. I really do. We need to teach our children what it is to fear God and keep His commandments. And then we can help teach them to love Him with all of their heart, soul, and might. And what a commandment that is. We're going to get to that tonight. You know what it involves? That word all? Passion. Fervency. I don't want to love God with half of my heart. That's not passion. That's not passion. I want to love Him with all of it, but I'm going to need His help, right?